Ladies and gentlemen, pay attention. This is your boy, the coach from the WWE. I would like to welcome you to the very first wrestling podcast in the world to take you on a weekly deep dive into classic matches along with legends of the squared circle. Enjoy the discussion. Enjoy the back and forth. There's so much to get into. Ladies and gentlemen, this is The Payoff.
We are on the road to SummerSlam. It's 1995. It's the Civic Arena, the Igloo in Pittsburgh. Jeff, I was there. I'm excited to cover this one for a whole bunch of reasons. But first, how the hell are you doing?
Doing good, man. You know, we're in the middle of it. You know, things are happening that, not even in the middle of it. We got a big weekend. This is SummerSlam weekend. We got TakeOver happening. It's just one to look forward to. I think the stakes are super high. Like you and I were talking before the show, like some weeks Raw is just, you know, if we were given the scores to the weekly Raws, you'd be giving it 2-3 at best. So hopefully the SummerSlam card, you know, it's come together. Hopefully we see some good things there. But before we get there, we got to go back to this one. We got it's been rematch month. We got more rematches next week too. And so this is one just it should be good to talk about.
Yeah, I'm pumped for this one. Hey, by the way, before we get into this, I haven't even told you this yet, but a big shout out and thank you to Marty Jannetty. He was a ratings hit on our 100th episode. Excellent. We did some very good numbers for that, and I'm glad everyone got to check out that episode and that interview, and you and I going down memory lane is some of our favorite episodes.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And that was, and I think I said, the big takeaway from that is he's getting healthy. He's, you know, trying to get back out there. It's, you know, not always in the news, you know, sometimes it's in the news for less than favorable things, but I think, you know, he's on the right path. There was, you know, some good things happening that he talked about, and I'm excited. And, you know, we got to, you know, who knows, we got these manias coming up, maybe, you know, Hollywood, Marty getting into the hall, who knows, it could happen. You never know.
Oh, dude, how good would that be?
Yeah, you know what?
The Rockers getting in the Hall of Fame.
I like, you got the showstopper, you got the glitz and glamour, you got, you know, Marty, you know, coming back doing the Rock. Like, if I would do it, yeah, I would skip Dallas and let's do it, you know, out in Hollywood. Let's do it right. Absolutely.
Agreed. So don't know if I put this on the list or you, but either way, why are we covering this one?
I don't know either. anymore. I'm usually kind of putting these lists together, and we have our list of 300 still, and then I'll pick a few, and then you'll say, no, do this, no, do that. This was the rematch, and this, it kind of fell in that. So I'll take credit for kind of picking this one, but it was just, it randomly was working out that we were getting all these rematches of like matches that we had covered before. But it was interesting because there's always been the debate of, we're starting it this week of, you know, it was this one better than the previous one? Like, and we'll have that conversation a little bit later, but, you know, kind of looking at some of these and revisiting it, you know, because it makes sense. We got a lot of these at WrestleMania, like that was the big moment. And we kind of got that, going back to 10 on this one. And then, you know, SummerSlam, yeah, at the time it was the next big show. And so we get now to this point where, okay, like this is the next time where they can have that big rematch. Let's take a look at it. And, you know, some of these that we're about to cover over the next couple of weeks, like, there is a hot debate online. I kind of was digging into it outside of the reviews of how people feel about maybe this one was a little bit better. Who knows? So, I'm excited to talk about that one to analyze it from that perspective.
Yeah. We're going to have to get into the rankings of both, ratings of both. Look, the two ladder matches between Sean and Razor are probably certainly by my research, the two best matches that Scott Hall ever had. And the big question going into this is going to be, how does this match hold up? Is it better than the WrestleMania 10 match? Different style. We're getting babyface versus babyface. No heel diesel at ringside to interfere. Had his hands full literally with Mabel later in the night. But dude, I'm really pumped to cover this one. So if you're ready, I'm ready. Let's get into it.
Let's get into it.
All right. It's time for the build.
Oh, it's time for the build.
All right. So like I said, man, we're in Pittsburgh. We're in my hometown. I'm at this show. Jeff, this would have been the first pay-per-view I ever attended, because remember, you had four pay-per-views and then you had five with the King of the Ring. We weren't a WCW town, so that wasn't even an option. So, you know, this was, God, you know, this would have been, there's no way I'm wrong about this. This would have been the first pay-per-view ever in Pittsburgh.
Interesting. Okay.
So, because if you think about it, there just weren't that many. I mean, we never had a WrestleMania, never had a Rumble, never had a Survivor Series. So, didn't have King of the Ring. So, then this would have been it. So, yeah. So, first pay per view ever. Packed house, a lot of fun. Really enjoyed this show. Again, man, just, you know, I won't even say height of my fandom, but certainly in the reign of it.
Good venue for wrestling.
Yeah. I mean, it was. Old school arena. So it just kind of, obviously people are listening to this, they can't see it, but just kind of like shot up. Right. And the boxes, everything was like further away, you know, now the boxes and the upper levels are more on top of each other. So it was just kind of one big thing. And yeah, I mean, I always had good seats. I always enjoyed myself. So it was a lot of fun. Gotcha. So Hakushi and 1-2-3 Kid open up the show. Hakushi wins. I was a big Hakushi mark, man. I liked him. I thought he was like cool, a different look, you know, kind of the dastardly heel, had the manager. I liked him. And yeah, I mean, they had some good matches with Bret Hart. So Triple H defeating Bob Holly in a singles match. So again, just a couple singles matches, nothing really at stake. Then we had the Smoking Guns defeating the Blue Brothers, Jacob and Eli Blue, 6-minute match there. Then friend of the show, Barry Horowitz, defeating Skip in 11 minutes. So kind of upset him a few times and then actually wins on pay-per-view. First pay-per-view for Barry Horowitz. May have been in a Rumble before this, but certainly first singles match. Then in a major shock in only 4 minutes, Bertha Faye, accompanied by Harvey Whippleman, defeated Alondra Blaze. Then a 16-minute match with The Undertaker defeating Kama, obviously the Godfather. So the Supreme Fighting Machine, I'm almost positive that's what his nickname was then. I never even realized, I caught this on the Steve Austin podcast. Kama was supposed to be like kind of like a take on a UFC fighter. Never, that gimmick just totally flew over my head. Never really knew what Kama was, but that was it.
Now we know.
Then, and Jeff, we're going to talk a lot more about this next week in our episode, but Bret Hart defeated Isaac Yankem by DQ in a 16-minute match. So Bret Hart, the guy who is your champion, the guy who you want to, you know, replace Hulk Hogan as the next big star. You stop start with him. Fast forward now, we have him in a program. And keep in mind, this is a year after he tore down the house with his brother Owen, his world champion at SummerSlam 94. Here he is against a wrestling dentist going to a disqualification well below the IC title or the WWF title. Let that sink in.
Yep.
Bruce Pritchard will tell you, well, not everyone can be in the main event, but ugh, man, brutal.
Compared to the main event we're about to get here. Yeah.
Shawn Michaels, Razor Ramon, IC title ladder match is your semi-main event. I'll tell you, for me, it was the main event at the time and obviously still now. And then the main event, Diesel defeating King Mabel, 9 minutes. Look, you needed a big heel for Diesel to face. I mean, he had to wrestle someone, you know, this was still the era where it's got to be heel and baby face. I mean, they had done Diesel and Brett a lot. So Jeff, you look at this card and, you know, I know it's like, oh, Mabel, King of the Ring. Oh, terrible. Oh, too big. Wasn't a great wrestler. What else are you going to do?
Yeah.
Look at this card.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe Taker face versus face, but that's not going to get Diesel over as champ if he's, you know, not wrestling a bad guy. I mean, there just wasn't much here, man.
I'd love to know the logic for why this match that we're about to talk about wasn't picked as the main event.
Never did it back then. I mean, I guess right, SummerSlam 92 in England with Davey Boy, but yeah, they just didn't do it. And the thing too, is it just completely, you know, cuts off Diesel's balls if it's like, yeah, you're not in the main event. I mean, it would have just made him look terrible. But yep, even at this time, dude, you kind of knew Sean was the guy, right? I mean, it just kind of felt like this guy is going to be champ, but they did the right job by waiting until WrestleMania to give him the title, the big crowning moment, versus doing it sooner. So the star ratings for these matches, I mean, the show was a dud outside of the Shawn Razor match. And then, you know, Hakushi and 1-2-3 Kid, 3.25 stars. So decent opener, 3 stars to Horowitz and Skip. So that's all I got. Storyline standpoint, man, and there's some good little gossip in here that I'm excited to talk about during the match. But how did we get to these two?
Yeah, so we'll rewind just a little bit here. It was the In Your House 2, didn't even have a subtitle on this one, but it's In Your House 2, which is July, just a little bit before this one. You had Michaels actually winning the title by pinning Jeff Jarrett.
Have we covered that match yet?
No, we haven't, but it is on our list. I actually
we'll do it next year. We got to do that one. That's a great match.
Yep, and so we've got that one. Shout out too. Let us know on Twitter. I saw just the other day we had some people requesting. Mike, thanks for letting us know you requested. What was it? Bret Hart Undertaker. And that, like, I know he said, you know, underrated one. And so let us know, hey, we're always expanding the list. So let us know, you know, how you're feeling about that stuff and what matches you'd like us to cover here. But so that one. So anyway, so at this In Your House 2, you actually had Michaels pulling double duty on this one. One of the lumberjacks actually during the title match, which you had at the time, was between Diesel and Psycho Sid. You had him getting involved, you know, doing the, you know, double X handle onto Sid on the outside, really helping Diesel retain his title. And so this kind of spawned back to a few months prior where Sid, you know, got into it with Michaels, power bombed him, you know, Sean blaming Sid for costing him the title at WrestleMania 11, just, you know, a little bit of back and forth there. And this is, if you remember too, you know, kind of the same, you know, I say the same point where you had the Diesel, Sean Mike, or Diesel versus Shawn Michaels with Pam Anderson, Jenny McCarthy, Sid is, you know, Michaels, you know, bodyguard, if you will, at the time. Just, you know, these guys kind of in each other's realms, but Sid kind of went away on this one a little bit. And so, but because you had Sid like kind of vowing revenge against Michaels for what he had did or done, but you also had like Jerry Lawler, who was wrestling, you know, we all forget, not just commentator, but wrestling as well too, quite a bit at this time, saying that he wanted a shot at Michaels' title. And so it was actually like Sid and Michaels were actually supposed to have a match here, but just didn't. And so, you know, it was, I was kind of reading online. I was trying to figure out why the best, like there's no, you know, a specific answer that's out there, but the best kind of rhyme or reason that I was reading was Sid and Sean just didn't get along. And so Sean was not about, he just didn't want to wrestle Sid. And so, you know, who they can tell the stories themselves, I'm sure one day, but that was why this one, you know, never happened. And so you've got really like July 24th, these guys kind of saying they want to be in the match. We're barely August 27th, a month away from this SummerSlam, but then, like really out of the blue without much buildup whatsoever, they just said, nope, Razor's going to get a shot. And it seemed like a lot of it was because you were getting into like, you know, they just weren't getting along. They just weren't, you know, big fans of each other. We at the time, we were not necessarily aware of it, but we were getting into the click era as well too, a little bit here. You know, just, you know, really kind of interesting, but these guys really, yeah, Michaels and Lawler got into it a little bit, but pretty much all this, the buildup to this, really all it had was a stare. And I went back and even kind of read like the raw reviews on this, or like the raw write-ups of kind of results. They had like a stare down and a beat down and like one period where they actually like worked together over this. And then that was it. Like they just kind of, you know, that was it. They were going to have their match. And so there was very little with these guys kind of together and kind of doing it. And so, yeah, one of the kind of quotes I read about why Sid was removed from the match, and this is just one of those, you know, kind of random things I thought was interesting, was, I don't think Sean really enjoyed working with Sid, as he said in his book that he was a god awful worker. Sean said it took a miracle to just get a decent match out of Sid, and he felt very proud of himself whenever he worked with him and it resulted in something even decent. It was much easier on Sean to have a good match with Scott Hall, and he was also good friends with him. So I'm sure Sean put out the word to Vince. So, and then really up to this point, so that's how, you know, you get this match itself. But before this, you know, Sean had been doing a lot, you know, in the title picture and things like that. But they actually had, how it played out for this one was Razor kind of quietly had been, you know, this goes back to that era of, if you, you know, who do you think of when you think of the Intercontinental Champion? It's Razor Ramon. And so it was actually a few months prior to this, that May of 95, oddly enough, it was a house show, beating Jarrett in a ladder match to win the Intercontinental Championship. And that was also his third time winning it. And so he was the first man to win it three times, ended up re-losing it, or, you know, losing it to Jarrett again, just a little bit later after, actually just a couple days later, losing it to him. He spent a little bit of time actually teaming with Savio Vega on that In Your House. It was actually the Lumberjacks was the kind of subtitle, but at the time we didn't really have it, but, you know, Savio Vega and Razor, losing to Men on a Mission. And so, you know, really not, you know, a whole lot happening with that. They ended up actually also like losing a tag team title opportunity to Owen and Yokozuna and losing that one. And so, and that was just on a, you know, an early August episode of Raw. So Razor, I feel like in a lot of ways was kind of floundering at this point. Like, yeah, he was the Intercontinental Champion, but okay, like he's teaming with Savio Vega to take on Men on a Mission, like definitely not, you know, at the level that you would think is the Intercontinental Champ, like, you know, really getting squashed by Owen and Yokozuna on Raw. It's like, okay, like, you know, that didn't make a ton of sense, but, you know, and then really just getting dropped into this match really unexpectedly. You know, I'm sure, like I said, we'll talk about it after a little bit, like the click and the backstage politics, if you will, on some of that. But yeah, I just, really no rhyme or reason that outwardly that kind of demonstrate, other than, hey, we're just going to put them together. I'm sure the backstage politics had a lot to deal with it. And then we get this ladder match again, and that's it.
Well, I got the answer according to Wikipedia as to why Sid and Sean didn't wrestle at SummerSlam.
Go.
It was at the request of WWF president Gorilla Monsoon.
Ah, see, yeah, Gorilla Jack so Tunney that, or Gorilla Monsoon?
No, Gorilla Monsoon at the time. So that's actually the real reason. Okay. Is WWF president. It was a management decision.
Well, hey, so that's
here,
important.
Let me know. So here's what's funny about this is on the Raw on September 5th, Sid and Sean did wrestle, and yes, Sean beat him with three super kicks. So it probably was that he didn't want to wrestle him at this show, but you look at how weak this card was, and they had already done Sid Diesel a bunch of times. So I'm not saying they should have gone that route, but it's like, how's Sid not on this show? Like, he's an actual star and he's not on this show. And it was a weird year for Sid because, you know, let me put it this way. It In Your House 5, which was called Seasons Beatings. See what they did there?
I get it.
It's Razor and Marty defeating Sid and the 1-2-3 Kid.
Yeah.
Interesting. So, and then you fast forward and, you know, a year later, Sid's your champion headed into WrestleMania 13. So really just an interesting little career arc or moment in time for Sid at that point that I thought was worth adding.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and Tom, you talk about managing. I have to ask you though before we kind of get into this. Like, how are you managing your manscaping? Are you grooming well? Are you doing good this week? I know it's hot out. Are you doing all right though?
Well, it's like 115 here in Arizona. I'm good, but in the summer
it's a dry heat.
Yeah, yeah. I feel like I don't use like in the colder weather, I don't think I use the lawnmower as much, but now with it being hot out, I'm using it more frequently, you know, especially like if you're going to go, you know, you figure it's summer. So like you're at pools, you're on vacation or whatever else, and you just don't want hair everywhere. And I feel like as I get older too, there's hairs on my shoulder. There's hairs growing faster. It becomes a larger task as you get older. So it's nice to be able to pop that thing on and it got the light and the good razor and you're not scratching yourself and cutting yourself and nicking your balls. And yeah, I mean, I don't know, 10 minutes every week or two and I'm a new man.
Well, hey, and you know what? Now that we're you know, the world's opening back up, you and I are getting out there. Everybody's getting back out there. Doesn't matter, you know, if it's, you know, shaving down there or trimming down there. You got all kinds of other tools that Manscaped can bring to you. And so make sure you're using, though, our promo code PAYOFF, 20% off manscaped.com, free shipping as well. And so all kinds of good stuff. Tom and I use it all. We like it all. Again, we say it all the time, but we want to remind you guys, we are no bullshit about this stuff. Like, check it out. It's absolutely worth it. You might say, it's, you know, I can get something cheaper somewhere. Nope. Like, spend the money on something that's worth it because it will last you. It's good stuff. And hey, like, the discount absolutely makes it worth it. And so 20% off manscaped.com using our promo code PAYOFF gets you free shipping as well. So
I didn't even realize you were reading a commercial. I thought you were just making conversation.
Hey man, you got me before, you know, you and I, you never know with a Mick Foley one, I remember. And so, hey, we're just, that's all. We're all about the seamless transition here on the PAYOFF. So,
all right.
Yeah.
Time for the PAYOFF. Here's the deal. We're at SummerSlam 95. We're at the 1 hour and 57 minute mark. So 1 hour, 57 minute mark, SummerSlam 1995. Jeff, what season did you say this was?
We are on, we got to dig in a little bit here.
Season eight. Okay.
Yes.
All right. So you know the drill. 1 hour, 57 minute mark. If you want to watch with us, we're pumped for this one. Jeff, are you ready?
Let's dive into this one, man.
All right. It's time for the PAYOFF.
Ho! It's time for the PAYOFF.
All right. Here we go. HBK and those blue tights, man. I love those. You know, every match we start out with HBK. First comment I always make is about his ring gear. Yep. I realized that. I wasn't even doing that on purpose. I love the blue, white boots. It was just a different look, man. I loved it.
Look at that, like the hardcore look of hanging the belt. They got those like mean looking hooks on it and stuff like that.
Yeah,
like,
I liked it a lot. You got Doc Hendricks and Vince McMahon on commentary. This is the main event of the show, man. This is the match that everyone was excited for. Yeah, and I mean, it looked like it was supposed to be Sid. And actually, Jeff, the WWF magazine had a picture of Sid and Shawn as the match for this show. So it was, yeah. So that was the match was supposed to be, which I was pumped about because they really hadn't done a closure yet on that feud, which, you know, started the night after WrestleMania 11 and the power bombs. So they never really addressed that yet. So that was kind of a really good semi-main event for the IC title. Obviously that didn't happen. So what are we going to do? Well, we'll do another ladder match rematch because these two will tear down the house. But the problem was, like you said, there really wasn't much of a build to this one, and they're both baby faces. So they're struggling with Shawn's pissed. I guess they didn't put the belt on the right way. I think there's a story behind it, but he's pissed off. It, I don't know if it was too high or something. I forget what the issue was, but
he turned it so that you could see the belt.
Okay.
So, so it was hanging kind of face down, like the front plate was down. And so he spun it so that the belt, now if you're from the hard cam side, you can see the front plate on the belt. Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
And so that's why he wasn't happy. So he just kind of rehung it a little bit, but you know, just a good way to kind of play it up a little bit at the start here of into this. So,
Well, okay. So you and I, this is a rematch. We got a few weeks of rematches here. You and I were talking before the show about rematch clauses. And like, while they got rid of the rematch clause, we're still getting rematches every week. Is there a smart way to do a rematch? Like, you know, a situation like this, or how can you not piss off the fans every week, but still give them, you know, some big name players in a rematch? How do you do it?
To me, the issue with rematches, I think the worst rematches are the ones they do the night after the pay-per-view. Oh, so,
God. Yeah.
Okay. So I, whatever, mid-card match, main event, whatever it is, as soon as they announce it, the first thing that goes through my mind is, well, what the hell was I doing watching the pay-per-view last night? That was a half hour of my time watching a match that clearly meant nothing if we're just going to redo it again tonight. So I just, it's stupid. I just, you know, I don't mind them getting rid of the mandatory clause because it really just backs you into a corner. But yeah. I just hate when they do them the night after.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah, and that's when we're, and they, it still happens too much. You know, they might add a third person to it. Like we were talking about a match that's happening. Like it just, it makes, you know, again, you got to have what, the summer of Cena, because yeah, if you're constantly putting the same people out there, they're not getting over. Like, yeah, of course you're not going to build stars. It's just how it is. And even in, you know, we hear it like them talking about, you know, Heyman, like, you know, like Roman is the star. It's like, okay. Like, I don't know. Like, I just don't get it. Oh, there's a big spot from Michaels getting flipped out outside. Classic Michaels right there.
Yeah. Taking the bump. Big spot.
Yeah. Yep. But yeah, you know, I guess what makes the guy is Roman. I don't think so. You know, but I'm sure he's the biggest merch seller and all that other stuff. But, you know, not, I guess not what I'm looking for. It's just weird.
We were talking about Sid earlier. Is he a Hall of Famer?
Sid? I don't know. I personally think, yeah, probably. But I think there's probably people more deserving than him right now. Absolutely. A lot more people.
Yeah. But I think he's in there. I think he should be in.
I think one day he will not be a top of the card Hall of Famer.
Wow.
But I think he will be. Oh, man. Oh, brutal spot there. You got Razor. Michael's holy trying shit. To flip Razor back into the ring over the ropes, but then Razor suplexing Michaels from the inside of the ring to the outside, kind of hitting his leg on the barrier on the way out, too. Like, that was nasty. No wow. ladder. And so, and remember, this is a ladder match. No ladders anywhere near. Like, there's one in the walkway, the entrance ramp, but that's really it. We don't have any others.
I mean, I think back in the day, you used to get one ladder. It was a ladder match. Maybe there was a second one, but
they're showing the spot again. Well, he released him. That was not great right there. That was dangerous for sure. Razor going for, yep, there he goes, getting him up. Maybe. Nope. Michael's fighting it. Super kick attempt. Nope. Misses. And both guys taking each other out. Yep. Fast action right out of the gate here. A lot happening. So it's always
good. But you forget for a big guy how quickly Scott Hall could move.
Oh, well, it's funny. I was actually sitting. A girlfriend was over, you know, last week or something like that, week before. And I just happened to have, it was the Raw after when fans were there. And, you know, she was kind of watching it with me and stuff like that. And she was saying, she's like, how tall are these guys? Like, they don't look like that big. And I was like, no, like Scott Hall is like 6'8", 6'9". Like, it's super deceiving. Like, these guys are huge. Like, you know, the camera is very deceiving on this, but that's, what I remember too. And I remember it recently, I remember there was a write-up where they were saying like the biggest guy that you don't realize is like Billy Gunn. Like, and I remember seeing him live at an AEW show, and dude is, and not just like jacked still, like he is a gigantic man. Like, it's ridiculous. I know DDP is the same way too. Like, these guys just like towering over you when they come into a room.
It's crazy. Billy Gunn, you'd never think of him as being a big dude, and you meet him, you're like, holy shit.
Right. I remember even because I was
Dustin Rhodes is another one. He's a big dude.
Yep. I was on the floor for an AEW show, and like, I remember him coming down, like Billy Gunn coming on the ramp. And even at the time, I was like, are you kidding me? Like, him standing in the ring against like MJF and stuff, and like just towering over these guys. It's insanity. But
So the other thing this show was missing, and there's Sid watching in the back. The other thing this show was missing was Jeff Jarrett. And I'm assuming the original plan was Jeff Jarrett versus the Roadie, because Jeff Jarrett and the Roadie were supposed to break up after the Shawn Michaels match from the previous In Your House. Famously, Jeff says no. And so he kind of calls an audible, doesn't really break up with him after the match, even though Roadie cost him the match. Mm-hmm. And then he walks out on the company. So, you know, you look at this show and you're like, well, Sid should have been on it, but wasn't, because I guess Shawn didn't want to work with him. And then Roadie and Jeff Jarrett should have had a blow off to their feud, or at least their first big match. So that was off the show. So you have no Sid. And then I guess Razor, I mean, he probably would have been in a more prominent match. I mean, I don't know, you know, and you wonder if Bret Hart was originally supposed to work with Isaac Yankem, or if you could have put him with anyone and put him with Sid, put him with Razor, someone. So
so you got your first ladder spots here. You had Razor trying to climb, Michaels knocking him off onto the ropes. Now you got him, Michaels hitting Razor with the ladder, and Michaels starting to make the climb. But Razor's messing with the ladder as well here too.
Do you have any issue if it's like face versus face, or, I mean, like, are you a traditionalist, or do you mind this?
I think as much as we talk about it a lot on the show, I wish I'm a traditionalist in the sense that, yes, I wish there were as clearly defined heels and clearly defined faces. We've talked about it previously on the show. Like, I'm sick of this. Will they, won't they, you know, half start. Like, I was reading one, like, I think it was Heyman that was saying, he's like, you know, or no, it wasn't Heyman, but it was just like one of the write-ups, and someone backstage was like, well, you know, we made him like 70% a face. Like, we took him, you know, 80% of the way. And I'm thinking to myself, like, I get that there's degrees here, but at the same time, like, just give me what I want here. Like, you know, how many years ago now was it when the, you know, Stephanie and all them came to the ring and Triple H were like, we're going to listen to the fans. It's like, no, like, I think there is a place for some of this stuff. Like, you know, we got the Finn AJ, you know, night before, you know, unplanned, and they just have like a barn burner of a match. I think there's a place for that stuff, but I think for the storytelling and, you know, kind of, you have to have good and bad characters, plain and simple. And there can be people in the middle, but, you know, you got to move it forward with your good, like, you know, your kind of light side, dark side characters as well too.
Yeah. Right. I disagree.
No. Okay.
I just don't need the especially I understand back in the day, I just now it's like, just present characters, and, you know, some can have an edge to them and be, you know, break the rules, and some aren't, but I don't need to boo and cheer someone in every match. But
I think there's a place for it. I'm with you in that you don't need it all the time, but I do think there's a lot of times with the stories you gotta have it. Like, because if not, like, I just feel like it, you know, what am I, you know, who are we supposed to cheer for? Like, you know, I don't want Vince telling me who I'm supposed to cheer for. I want to be able to watch the story and figure it out on my own. So I don't know. It's tough.
What year do you think was the last match that Scott Hall competed in?
When I'm sure he probably did like a kind of random match at some point that I'm just not thinking of, like, they came out, what was it? You know, they were involved, what, in 30. So that was 6-7 years ago, something like that. And a true match, I don't know.
So if my research is correct, which I think it is, it was a TNA match at TNA Sacrifice 2010. It was Hall and Nash defeating Jesse Neal and Shannon Moore in a tag match.
Okay.
I got that down as the last Scott Hall match on record that I can find anywhere.
Interesting. I know. Good to see. I mean, I think you and I both saw, of course, like the kind of DDP helping him and the story there. And, you know, we both watched that.
It seems like he's, I mean, been relatively clean. I mean, I think Jake maybe had a regret, little step back or whatever. Mm-hmm. But I think for the most part, I mean, at least publicly, it seems like both him and Jake have been pretty clean.
Well, and I think Jake has recently come out, I think it was in the last month or so, and has said like AEW really reinvigorated his love of wrestling. I think he said initially it was supposed to be a 6-week run. And then at the end of it, Tony Khan came to him and it was like, Jake said the story was like, he just like put a piece of, he's like, here, sign this piece of paper. And he's like, what's this piece of paper? He's like, it's a year contract. Like, and so, and that was it. And so then he had a year contract. And then like at the end of the year, Tony came to him and was like, you got to sign another piece of paper. And he's like, for what? And he's like, what's a 2-year contract? And so like, it's great to hear. And I feel like we've heard it with wrestlers leaving, you know, it's the kind of the, you know, the worst kept secret of how like some of the creativity just gets stifled in WWE. And, you know, it's the show for one, no matter what we think and say, it's the show for one man. And like for Jake and like Sting too, like to come back and have some freedom to really do what they want. It's really incredible to, you know, see what they're, and they're being used perfectly in my opinion.
Like, oh yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh for my sure. God. Like, you know, you put, you know, Jake with Lance Archer and help him get over, like, you know, and hell, you have Jake come to the ring with a snake every once in a while and scare the shit out of people. Like, you know, perfect stuff. You have Sting have an incredible match at a pay-per-view. And then, you know, get in, you know, putting over the young, you know, Orange Cassidy and working with Darby Allin to get him over. Like, just, it's how they should be used, plain and simple. And not these random one-offs and things like that, where we're going to bring Goldberg back because he's got, you know, Goldberg, we got to do Goldberg again. It's that time of year. Yeah, there's rumors swirling. I'm sure you and I saw it about, you know, when the Saudi show is going to be. They're saying October. We were talking about it before the rumors were swirling that, hey, we know we got another one of those coming up. Like, it'd be super interesting, one, if they can even fly there again. But two, like, you know, what, I don't know what to expect. Like, you know, what kind of crap are we going to get that I just absolutely don't want to see, you know, how, you know, yeah. But money talks.
But why wouldn't you have Scott Hall managing someone in the WWE?
Oh, I get it. Yeah.
Or, you know, again, not that I want to like, not that I think you need to bring back the NWO, but okay. Would it be the worst thing in the world if Hall and Nash brought back the NWO and NXT? Would it be the worst thing in the world?
Right.
It would be interesting. You'd watch it. If it sucked, then you wouldn't like it. But again, I'm just, why wouldn't you, you know, the way they've used Tully and Jake and AEW, you've got Scott Hall, you've got Kevin Nash, you've got Hulk Hogan, you've got Ric Flair, you've got guys that can do that role that don't ever have to step in the ring again. Maybe a Hall and Nash can take a bump if they need to, but why not use these guys? So the story of the match is, Sean's knee's getting worked pretty hard. He's clearly the baby face in this match. Razor's not really working like a heel, but, and there you go, a little double axe like handle.
Yeah. Half and half baby face. Yeah.
Yeah. So using the ladder a little bit.
So just one small ladder. Let's be clear about that. We're used to the 10 yeah. footers. This is your standard 6-foot, probably not worked too hard ladder. Yeah.
Well, and I'll tell you this. So you bring up Jake and, you know, obviously he's, seems like he's been clean and he's doing a great job. And, you know, I'm by no means an expert in, you know, addiction or anything like that. But I will tell you, when you talk about people coming out of prison, when you talk about people kicking addiction, the word that seems to be so important is purpose. And Jake the Snake has purpose. He's got to be at AEW, you know, every Wednesday, and he has a 2-year contract and he ain't going to fuck it up. You know, the money's probably really, really good. It's probably as good as it was when he was wrestling in some case. You know what I mean? So it's good money and he's clean and he has a relationship with his family and he's got purpose from the family, purpose professionally. And I just think it's so important, you know, and it's great to see. So Razor going up the ladder, Sean behind him. Oof, man, just a nice little suplex off the ladder there.
It's about halfway up the ladder. Yeah. Yeah. I think you're totally right. And I think, you know, we're lucky to get to see, you know, and part of it is, I think, like, you know, the pops that those guys get are worth it in every sense of the word, you know, that they deserve it. That even when Arn Anderson does like one spine buster, people lose their shit because,
oh,
you know, and that's worth it. And even a situation like you bring
back just to introduce the title belt. Like, it seems minuscule, but man, it adds such an air of just like, you know, prestige. And like, you know, when Brett, you know, if Bret Hart's presenting the title, versus, you know, oh, Scott Hall getting hung up there as he gets tossed into the ladder in the corner. You know, it adds such, like you said, to kind of steal, like there's, it's such a purpose for these guys to go out there and add that air of just like,
and you're,
you know,
and you're important. Not overshadowing the young guys. Right. So Hall getting thrown in the ladder a couple times there. You're not overshadowing the young guys. You're not bringing them back for matches. You're bringing them back for a spine buster on a heel, you know, let Razor hit someone with a razor's edge. The place would go bananas.
Well, and I think you and I, when Jericho won the belt for the first time, I think you and I both were like, oh, like why not put over the younger guy? But in retrospect, like that did make a lot of sense because it's Jericho. Yeah. We got Le Champion. We got, you know, a little bit of like Jericho did what Jericho does and, you know, got it everything over and added that air to the belt that was needed. And so, and I think that was wow. Just, yeah, well, yeah, crazy spot there.
Yeah. So Sean did a moonsault off the ladder. Not all the way at the top, but it was, I don't know, just a
impressive.
Really,
yeah.
Yeah. It looked really good.
But yeah, you know, stuff like that, like now, because then you give it to the younger guy, it's like, hey, beat Jericho for it. So just, you know, that in that sense, it makes a lot of sense. So you got Michael, the ladder's in the corner set up. You got Michael's on the very top of the ladder.
Holy shit.
Wobbly. Holy shit. Michael's or Razor on his back. Oh, missing the frog splash off the top. Yikes.
At WrestleMania 10, he hit that. Now he misses it. It's got to hurt more to miss it than to hit it.
Oh, yeah. You would think, hey, you know, even though you got a man to pad your or a woman to pad you when you're coming down on it otherwise. But so both guys laid out now, nobody really moving. I feel the pace has slowed a little bit here. It feels like at least what we've seen, so pretty stiff. Like a lot of not a lot of high flying spots necessarily, but there actually has been some pretty decent ones though too. It's a good mixture of kind of what we're seeing and what's going on in the ring.
So prior to this, Razor and Jeff Jarrett. Here's a replay of that moonsault. It was pretty good.
It was pretty good.
Jarrett and Razor were working ladder matches for the IC title on house shows, which I was not aware of. And, you know, they weren't going balls to the wall every night, but they were still working ladder match house shows, which I was not aware of.
Which, you know, it's well, and even like Razor winning the title at a house show, it just feels odd to say that even.
So I, you know, obviously they're touring again and they're doing house shows again. And I just don't understand how they haven't evolved the house show over these years. Like, you know how like you go to a baseball game on a Sunday and like they let kids run bases.
Yeah.
Why is there nothing like that at a house show where it's like, hey, if you bring your, you know, any kids under 12 can come out to the entrance. Like
touch
they're not
the ring.
Yeah, yeah. Something touch the ring, walk around, like, you know, stick around after if you want to, or hell, they could charge more for it. You know, for $100, your kid can come out to, you know, his favorite song or something. I mean, whatever. I just don't understand how they haven't done anything to spice those house shows up at all. It's just like brutal.
Yep. Yeah, I think to your point, that makes a ton of sense, actually. Like, it's weird. We've got some good ideas on this show, which, you know, we want them to steal them. Just please.
Well, they kind of recently announced they're going to, or I think is going to steal one, which is Queen of the Ring. Do that over a Raw and SmackDown. Makes sense. I like it.
And you and I've talked, like, you know, how do you get more engagement? Like, it's doing that type of stuff. Like, even the breakout tournament on NXT, like, you know, I'm not fully invested in it, but at least it's something to advertise. You know, it's something to get the kind of word out there. They're showing the spot to you. Had both guys on opposite sides of the ladder, and then kind of
Razor's lucky he didn't tear his ACL.
He was stepping big time. That ladder was a little bit too far away. Yeah, but yeah, I'm with, like, and that makes a ton of sense of just like, oh, whoa, hello. Of, you know, do something like that. Like, yeah, and how shit they could pay, like, charge for it. You're going to tell me like a kid, you know, $20 even, like, and I don't agree with that necessarily, but like, for them, I wouldn't be surprised if they did something like that. You want to add on, you want to come down to the ring after the show. Like, sure, why not? Now, I think, you know, especially too nowadays with, you know, who knows what kind of their touring schedule is going to be like specifically when they kind of get back to a full load. I really hope they, you know, they quit double booking themselves, but it's getting to the point where there's so much on TV, it's hard for them to not double book themselves on some night. But I still don't agree with that, especially countering against a pay-per-view against themselves is idiotic in every sense of the word to me. I've seen a bunch of kids front row. I have not asked you, where were your seats?
You know, I don't remember. Probably pretty decent. I mean, not like crazy close. The only time I ever sat really close, I sat front row at a house show one time and it was awesome. And Trish Stratus was there. So it was great.
Yep. Yeah. Double ladders. Now
we didn't see a lot of females like that in Pittsburgh growing up. So it was pretty nice.
The butthole of America. If I remember right. Yeah.
Bret Hart. Yeah.
Yep.
Oh yeah. So second ladder here.
Hey, Michael's climbing out of position though. Razor. Yep. Going at him again.
Oh,
oh, here we go. Trying to get the Razor's edge. Got it.
I don't know if I believe this or not, but somewhere it was said online that nobody ever kicked out of the Razor's edge.
We'll have to keep paying more attention. And internet, let us know.
Yeah. Like, that was what was on, is that that move had never been kicked out of.
That, like, you know, and this one obviously can't go for the cover, even if he did, like both guys are kind of laid out.
So speaking of my childhood, I was very excited, Jeff,
yeah,
as you know.
Yep.
I asked my mom, I said, I still have, because I have a 1-year-old son, I still have my Hulk Hogan and Ultimate Warrior wrestling buddies somewhere in storage, right? And she's like, no, you sold them for beer money when you were in high school. I was like, oh. So I sold them on eBay. So that whatever I sold them for, I now had to buy them back on eBay. But I got Hogan and Warrior to give to my son. I'm very excited. They get here in a few days. I hope he likes them. So he's going to have Hulk Hogan and Ultimate Warrior wrestling buddies.
I mean, they can only go up in price. And so
apparently it's an appreciating asset.
It is. Yeah, absolutely. The market is not in a downturn. That's for sure. I will say, because my buddy and I were talking about this, this is the who gave me the gold medal line that I used on our payoff read on our Manscaped read last week, making sure that your balls are gold medal worthy with the Olympics going on. But he said, I had the OG Macho Man, but my stepmom gave it to the dog as a chew toy back in the day. I will never forgive her. So don't scar your child for life. I believe you still have a dog. Yes. Barely. Do not give the dog access to your wrestling buddies. Yeah.
I'll kill that little shit if it messes with my wrestling buddy. It's my wife's dog, not mine.
You're right.
Oh, super kick. Is that it?
Whoa.
Wow.
So
describe what just happened.
Michael's super kick Razor off of a second ladder, both of them about 3/4 of the way up. And then Michael's out of like the ladder, not just right. And so you don't even see this anymore. Tries jumping off the ladder to grab the belt just out of his fingertips. And then kind of landed very awkwardly on like the end, like the footing of the other ladder that was on the ground at that point. Like that was probably the roughest I had seen it. And so you got Michael's dumping Razor outside now and trying to climb. This could be it.
Vince going nuts on commentary.
Yep. Making the slow climb, selling the knee still. Good job there. And here you go. Oh, one more step. He's got one step to go, and then he's at the top. Oh, look at it. Hop the ladder. Bunny hopped the ladder there. And he missed it again.
Wow.
He went to grab it.
I do not remember that. I think he's pissed off.
I don't remember that either. Yeah.
I wonder if that was supposed to be the finish.
So you got Razor trying to get back in. I got a feeling that something wasn't right.
Yeah.
Yep.
And I forget the story. I forget the story, but I think the story was the belt was too high, but I don't remember.
Well, it did look that way. So yeah. Oh, so now I got Razor back in the ring. He pushes Earl Hebner out of the way. He rips the belt away from Michaels.
Wow.
Good stuff.
So, I mean, these two just had a hell of a match. And remember, context is king. This is 1995. There were no good matches in 1995 for the most part. So
even this show itself
stuck out like a sore thumb. So
yeah.
Razor, the consummate good guy, hands Shawn the belt. Shakes his hand.
Everybody cheering. It raises his arm. Yep.
And there you go. There's the guy. He's going to be your champ soon.
Interesting. And fireworks. Not even the main event, but we're getting fireworks.
Hell of a match, man. Hell of a match.
Good stuff. Cool.
All right. Let's get into the aftermath.
Ho! It's time for the aftermath.
All right. What'd you think?
Really good. It was extremely stiff, in my opinion. Like, these guys, they wrestled hard. Like, I think even I'm going to say that was a botch at the end there, the botch of kind of not being able to pull the belt down the second time and having to go up a third time. I think that definitely wasn't right. But other than I thought it was very stiff. It definitely lived up to some of what I was reading and saw. I thought it was really good though. How about you?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, really good match. And again, you just didn't get stuff like that back then. So stiff. Really good, some good spots. You know, I don't know if it was, it may have been a little bit better than the WrestleMania 10 match, but the WrestleMania 10 match, because it was a WrestleMania, because it was just the first time you had ever seen it. You know, I don't think you can really say that this overall tops it, but still really, really fun match. And I mean, take this match off this show and it's just a god awful pay-per-view.
Garbage.
Yeah. So this terrible. Was it. All right. So write-ups, fun facts, what do you have? And by the way, I didn't mention this during the show. What was the highest ranking that Razor Ramon ever was on the PWI 500?
As high on PWI?
Highest ever.
I know what he is for this one. It's single digits, but I'll say he probably did better than I'm going to go 6-7.
Oh,
that's all right. I almost said 7.
I still have it on. Razor making fun of Dean Douglas.
Yeah. We're going to talk about Dean. Yep. A little bit right
how
here.
How you give Shane Douglas a teacher gimmick is beyond me.
Yep. And so you got, and this was Razor right after this match now, and this is the promo before we even get into the next match. And Tom and I keep it on just to kind of, you know, we just keep it on after we watch that one. But you did have Razor starting a feud with, yes, Dean Douglas, the franchise Shane Douglas. He just kind of, you know, hit him right there. And so it's actually In Your House for Razor beating Douglas to win the Intercontinental Championship at that point. Michaels had actually forfeit the title to Douglas. So Razor again, first time, now four-time champion, first four-time Intercontinental champion in WWE history. And so kind of feuded with Dean a little bit, but then getting into early 1996, he started feuding actually with Goldust. And so the two of them having a match at Royal Rumble actually in the early 1996. You had Razor actually losing the title to Goldust because 1-2-3 Kid attacking him. You actually had Razor that was supposed to, and this is the kind of what if that we did not get. Razor was supposed to have a match with Goldust at WrestleMania 10, 11, 12. It was supposed to be a Miami street fight, but Hall was actually suspended at that time. And so we did not get that match. And so kind of what if, you never know. This was a young Goldust as well too, kind of almost, you know, debuting in a lot of ways, kind of, you know, or newcomer to WWE. Michaels though, at this point too, we kind of said it throughout this episode, but a lot of the backstage politics here where you had the click, you had these kind of things happening and going on, really just, you know, dictating a lot of what happened. So it's hard not to, knowing what we know now, to kind of look at the lens of, you know, kind of what happened and kind of how these guys kind of affected what was on and kind of working together. Like, I'm sure, you know, they had a lot of pull that we didn't even realize at the time. And so,
you know, had that. So of course, Michaels though had, you know, we had talked about a little bit why, you know, I'm going to just say Shane Douglas, cause I don't want to call him Dean Douglas, Shane Douglas losing the, or had the belt at this time, because Michaels actually a real world kind of fight assaulted at a bar. And so he actually forfeit the title to Douglas. It was actually In Your House, Great White North, was that one. And so this,
I don't remember a lot of these names of these like first.
Oh, and that's why I said this, and this was four. And so up in Winnipeg. And so that's why you get the Great White North on this one. And so, you know, but of course, Douglas losing the title, the Razor, as we already said. And so, but again, this was really like that pointed to like that match kind of at this time period, really the click kind of helping each other out. You had Owen Hart getting into it with Shawn Michaels a little bit at this point. You had some kind of scripted things that were happening. Michaels returning at Royal Rumble, actually winning the Royal Rumble that 1996. So it was his second win in a row. And then, you know, getting his, of course, the WrestleMania 12, Shawn Michaels, Bret Hart, Iron Man match, leading into that. And so, that one, you know, that makes sense. Good trajectory there. Unfortunate for Razor to, kind of a little bit of a downward trend at that point. So not great there, but, yeah, just classic stuff. That's really the best way to put it. So, okay, scores and reviews. You had said his best was 7, but this year, 1995, Razor was 9, number 9 on the PWI. When was he number 7? You have that?
The year before, 94.
94, okay, yep. Got it. And then Shawn number 2 that year, 1995. So, kind of interesting write-ups on this one. And so the PW Torch on this one, we've got high rankings across the board. So it was a day that will be remembered as one of the more important days in the careers of two wrestlers who take tremendous pride in their jobs. Shawn Michaels and Razor Ramon, great friends outside the ring, came through with another classic ladder match at SummerSlam in front of a sold out crowd in Pittsburgh, PA. The second ladder match though, had elements the first didn't have. The first of this match the finish of this match incorporated two ladders, only two ladders. Tom, can you believe it? Oh my gosh, two ladders in a match. Incorporated two ladders in the pre-match hype, and during the match, there were teases that Ramon might be turning heel, and both wrestlers are considered more so than 17 months ago, two of the biggest stars that WWF has. More than any other match, the first ladder match put Razor on the map as a very good, if not great, worker. This year's ladder match also went 10 minutes longer, incorporated new moves that went beyond what was done in the first version. The opening 5 minutes of this ladder match was better than the first match. The high spots were just as spectacular, sometimes taken to the next level. There were a few moves that were left off, probably because the two learned the first time they hurt more than it was worth. The psychology of two baby faces didn't take away from the match. The execution of the match didn't have moves that seemed as contrived as a couple did in the first. The fan heat was so good, if not better. After watching both matches back to back twice, no doubt this match deserves to be considered at least in the same category as their first. Wade Keller giving this one 5 stars. And so Meltzer on this one, giving it 4¾ stars, very close on this one, but a small write-up on this one. Michael's got a bigger pop coming out, but that's probably because he puts on a show before the match. Razor wasn't booed at all, except by a small smattering of fans midway through the match while he was destroying Michaels. So 5 stars. 4¾ stars. Tom, I'd like to not only hear your score, but I'm going to put you on the spot here. And you talked about it a little bit. If you had to pick one of these two, which would you pick for to show someone?
WrestleMania 10, just because it's WrestleMania. I think you're kind of splitting hairs between which match was better, but I think the WrestleMania 10, because the stage it was on and again, the significance of it, and we had never really seen it before on a big stage. Now, as far as the payoff score goes, I'm going to give this a 7. There's really no build to it. I know they had wrestled before, but you know, it's funny. This was not the era where like there was some big, you know, I mean, you could have made a really cool vignette and like a really cool, like hype
video of like before the match to like get you excited about this one. But it was just kind of like, oh, they had some words and they made a match and he's not going to wrestle Sid anymore. So really no build and really no aftermath because these two really didn't do anything afterwards of significance, right? I mean, Razor was gone soon after this. So you never got anything else to this feud. So the match itself was good, but you know, it's just interesting because if it happened on a WWE pay-per-view now, you'd probably go, oh, solid ladder match, but we've seen that a bunch of times before. So yeah, you know, it just doesn't really hold up that well as being anything special. What about you?
I was going to go a 7.5. I was pushing 8. I'm with you too. I think you have to put the, like, you're very much splitting hairs, but you got to pick the WrestleMania match on this one. You know, let us know which one now, Twitter universe, which one you think is better, or which one you'd pick. Like, if you had to show one to one for, you know, person, which one would show? And I'm with you on, like, I think the first one really it put it on the map. Like, you know, we hadn't seen anything like that. And so it, what I do appreciate that this was an evolution of that. And so we got to see some new things and hey, and not just one ladder, we got two ladders and we know where we are nowadays with that type of stuff. And so I really appreciate, you know, kind of you can't overlook what both matches did at the time and kind of where it went from there, because, you know, there weren't a ton of, I say, big ladder matches. To that point, there had not been a lot of big ladder matches, but then you did have, you know, it was really a year before we got the next big one. And then it was 2 years at SummerSlam. We had Triple H and The Rock in 1998 was one of, you know, the next one of the really big ones as well too. And there was other ones in there, but you know, just, it was a big deal. So, yeah, so I'm a 7.5, kind of same thing. While there was no build, it was still a very good match. And so, like I said, stiff, I'm a fan of that. I know it's why I like New Japan so much. And so I appreciated that with the ladders. It was just really good stuff. So 7 and 7.5 sounds good to me, man.
Well, we did our duties this week. We watched a good one. We continued our theme of SummerSlam. I'm glad we watched this one instead of the bullshit that I'm watching on TV of Mabel and Diesel. I got to just turn that off.
I was trying. Brutal. Sadly, I have that on too. We've got, luckily it's a big weekend. We got SummerSlam on SummerSlam Saturday. Be on the lookout for you, Tom, right?
Yeah. Maybe, yeah.
Hopefully.
Yeah. I don't know where I'll be sitting.
But yep. And so
I hope ticket prices come down.
Yeah. Tom might be there
depending. Or else I might be in my hotel room watching it on TV.
Yeah. You might have to catch him at the takeover the next night. We'll have to see what kind of happens there.
I got a free room at Harrah's. So I might be in my room watching it on TV.
Feel free to find Tom at the bar and buy Tom a drink or, you know, share some wrestling stories with him. Cause Tom will absolutely do that with you.
Hey, so. if you're going to be there, look out for me. I'll be, I think I'm going to be in a Mega Powers t-shirt with a Hogan bandana on.
Perfect. Yep.
What a fucking mark.
Yeah. Oh boy. Yeah. You said it, not me, buddy. So, all right. So happy SummerSlam week. Let's send him home, my friend.
All right. Well, let's hope and pray for a kick-ass SummerSlam. I think it's gonna be better than WrestleMania, but we shall see. And as always, appreciate the support and thank you for joining us on an all new episode of The Payoff.